Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good morning.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. The facts of life.
Now I'll say it. Good morning. And welcome back. Jim Toronto filling in for Dean Richards. And you heard the theme there from Facts of Life, TV show from the 80s with Mrs. Garrett and her boarding school of those scampy little girls, Blair and Joe and Tootie and Natalie and all the rest. But here we are in 2020. And there's a show on MeTV, Channel 23, locally here as well. You know, MeTV goes nationally. There's a show that is in its second season now. The new season just debuted last week on Sunday nights at 8:30, called Collector's Call. And it's a show about people showing off their collections, whether it is Barbie dolls or Winnie the Pooh or Elvis or maybe even Elton John. And it's an interesting kind of show. I'm interested in it because I don't know when, but sometime in the next couple of months, I am going to appear on that show with my collection. And the host, of course, is the former Blair, Lisa Welchel. And, she got involved with the show, and she is the host. It's, like I said, it's her second season. And she came to my house, and it was a very cool experience and everything. So I just thought we would maybe talk to Lisa to talk about the show. As I said, it just premiered last week. It'll be on tonight at 8:30 and every Sunday. And not only talk about the show itself, but then get a little behind the scenes of what it was like when she came to my house. So here's my interview that I recorded a little earlier this week with Lisa Welchel. So, Lisa, tell me now how, before we get into specifics, tell me how the heck you got involved with a show produced out of Chicago called Collector's Call.
Well, I got involved because I knew the producer and I had worked with him before. And I think he reached out to me because this is definitely a show about collections and it's about the items. But really, it's also a show about the people, and it's about their passion for holding on to their childhood. I have not met a collector yet whose collection was not in some way tied to hanging on to something that was tied to their heart, and typically something that was tied to their childhood. And it's a perfect fit for MeTV. MeTV is memorable entertainment. It's memories that from our childhood. It's shows from our childhood that are lodged in our heart that we don't want to let go of. So it's a perfect fit for the network, and it's a perfect fit for me because I'm just by nature curious about people and their stories, and I think the producer knew that.
Now, are you a collector yourself at all? Is there anything that you have sort of a, and I'm not going to use the word obsession because I'm actually, a subject of one of your episodes here. So I'm not going to, say myself how obsessed I am.
But just use the word passion.
There you go.
It is passion. And we need that kind of passion in our lives.
But do you have any?
I am not a collector. I think I'm living vicariously through the collectors.
So the idea then appealed to you just because, did it sound good on paper? Did you, now that you've done a full season and now that you have taped the second season, is the show and what you expected and the people that you've met and the collections that you've seen, are they what you expected or have you been surprised?
I've really been surprised. There's some things that I anticipated. I knew it would be interesting. I knew my curiosity being such a big value of mine. I knew that it would be interesting. I didn't know it would be so educational. There's so many things that I've learned that I did not anticipate. I didn't know that I would appreciate the passion and what it takes to really have such a collection, the commitment that it has that goes into the collection. I really do have such a respect for each of the collectors. And as I said, I learned something with each collection, and I love broadening my horizon.
Now, you do have to do your homework because the show features collections that that run the gamut in terms of the actual specific subject matters. Some things are based on childhood toys, for instance, things on music or things on movies. Being a collector myself, I really had no idea how wide the collecting world was until I started to talk to different people and heard that people just, I mean, haven't you seen, people will collect just about anything.
It's true. Well, actually, I don't actually have to do the homework. Two things. We bring in professional appraisers who do the homework, and they know their stuff. So they know what things are worth. They know the nuances of what makes something worth more than others. I also try not to do any homework. I don't want to know anything because I want to be curious. I want to really know, I want to ask the questions that the viewers at home, I want to be the liaison for the viewer at home. I want to be able to, be kind of take the place of the person at home, ask so that I will just spontaneously ask the question that somebody at home would be thinking. And, you know, so that if they're thinking, you know, I wonder why they did that, or I wonder what that means, or why would they be collecting that? I want to ask that question spontaneously. And if I already have the answer, I wouldn't do that.
So you at least, but I mean, you certainly have a cursory kind of knowledge. Okay, we're going to somebody's house. They have an Elvis Presley collection, or they have a toy collection. So you have a certain idea before you start.
Yes, I do know if we're going to, if it's Star Wars or Barbie or Lego,
right,
or toys or Elton John or Beatles or Pac-Man or any of those things, yes.
Well, I have to say, though, that, and I don't know if it was then just your personal interest, but I was very impressed. Obviously, you came to my home to see my Elton John collection, and I was very impressed with your knowledge about Elton John. So I didn't know if that was just your personal knowledge that you brought to the table or that you had done some homework. But you mentioned a few things throughout the show that sort of turned my head because...
Well, that's just my own, because I'm a fan of Elton John.
Okay,
Because we had an Elton John pinball machine in our house when my kids were little.
Oh, you did?
I have loved Bernie Taupin. Because I just seen Rocket Man. I wasn't a big rock and roll fan as a kid, but I liked his music. So yeah, that's just personal, and that's what makes the show so enjoyable for me. For the same reasons, I think the viewer, because a lot of these shows bring back my own memories and my own childhood, and so it has the same appeal to me is I think why the show is appealing to viewers.
So now that you have done the two seasons that are completed, and now the second season has debuted and will be showing for the next few months, I would assume, can you mention what some of the collections that you were most impressed about? Not even that they maybe have been something that you were interested in per se, but that were just impressive in terms of maybe just the quantity of things, or the depth of them, or the presentation and display. Are there some collections that really in your mind stand out even now after two seasons?
Yeah, absolutely, and that's a great way you set that up, because there's lots of different reasons, ways to qualify that. One, for instance, was the James Bond screen-used vehicle. So this gentleman had a couple of airplane hangars of vehicles used in James Bond movies. So he had a submarine and a tank and, of course, the cool cars. But then he also had helicopters. And,
oh, my goodness.
I mean, from James Bond movies. And he had an airplane hangar. And then there was a young man who had a Star Wars collection that was so huge. He had a 5-bedroom house and a basement, and he only used the kitchen and one bedroom as an actual living space. And then there was a guy who had Nike Air Jordans, and I mean, one pair of shoes was worth $15,000.
Wow.
And then there was a woman with Barbie collection that it was just one room, but it was 5 layered deep. So you would think, oh, wow, this is a tiny room, until you realize... It's 5 layers. It's not a tiny room. It once was a large room.
Wow.
And then, of course, there's one woman who had her house full of Winnie the Pooh, and you think, wow, that's excessive, until you realize this is her second house. She owns the house next door. It was full of Winnie the Pooh. She bought this house beside it because she outgrew the other house. So, I mean, it's some commitment here.
Well, my gosh, then by comparison, walking into my house must have walked in and said, "What's the big deal? Why are we here?"
Oh, yeah, what a slacker. This guy's a slacker.
I mean, my gosh, he actually uses his living room and dining room and kitchen.
Right.
and there's no second house.
Right.
And we're not going to an airplane hangar. How boring is this?
Right. We could live here.
Right, exactly. So, Lisa, you came to my home here in the Chicago area last summer in August. And first, just so you know, the bedroom that you used for your hair and makeup has now been officially called the Blair Room.
That's so funny.
In our house, when we refer to the room, if where's the cat or where's that? Oh, it's in the Blair Room. Okay. So
I love it.
Yeah, my mom lived with us for a while, and it used to be called my mom's room, but now has been officially christened the Blair Room because that's where you hung out.
How does your mom feel about that? I hope she doesn't know that.
No, she doesn't know.
Good.
But,
Good. You're a wise man.
Yes, yes. So, and it was great to have you over. So, What I talked about a little in the before was you actually came to my episode with a little personal information because you said you were an Elton John fan and actually had an Elton John pinball machine, which I also have in my collection. So that's pretty cool. So I guess my question is, coming to my collection with a little knowledge, what were your impressions before, during, and after?
Well, I was really impressed with your collection on a number of levels. And it is really true of so many of the collections that I come to. I learned something. I have a deeper appreciation of the collection. If it's a personality that is collecting, I usually have a deeper appreciation of that and the collector. But, of course, Elton John even more so. I was very, very touched by the picture that you had taken of his sons. I was very touched of the personal note that he wrote. I had not heard of the artist that you had, that huge painting that you have in your entryway.
Oh, yes, Denny Dent.
Oh, yes, very impressed by that. Who wouldn't be impressed by getting to put a pair of Elton John's glasses on,
right,
and really seeing how blind the poor man is.
Yeah. It's funny. He several years ago, he had LASIK surgery, so he really doesn't even need glasses anymore.
Wow.
Now he does just wear sunglasses. But as you saw back then, the glasses that I have are from the mid-70s, and he was as blind as a bat.
Man, then that tells you how powerful LASIK surgery is, too, then. Yeah, then how tiny Bernie Taupin must have been with that little shirt.
Right, exactly. Yes, yeah. Well, in fact, you do know now, and I should mention a little postscript to that. So, you were mentioning I took a couple of pictures of Elton John and his sons on stage in Las Vegas in 2018, and I sent those pictures to Elton, and he sent me this nice note back, which Lisa is referencing to. What I should mention is one of the two pictures that I did send him was published in his recent memoir.
Wow, so, that's amazing.
So I've got a picture and a photo credit in his new memoir that came out in October, and that was a New York Times bestseller.
Well, I mean, that's a stellar accomplishment for anyone, but it must be for such a fan as yourself. I mean, that's got to be such a meaningful accomplishment to have somebody that has brought you such joy. To know that you have given someone who brought you so much joy to give them something that is so meaningful to them.
Yeah, no, I was blown away. They had contacted me earlier in the year last year and just let me know that that those photos that I had taken were being considered, but they just wanted to know if they had my permission to use them if they wanted to, and certainly I said yes. And I did not hear back at all. That I heard initially from them in April, and the book was published and on the newsstands in October, in mid-October. And so I did not know until the day the book came out and someone sent me a Facebook posting and said, congratulations, because they had gotten the book and they'd seen the picture, and they must have went in the back to see who took the pictures in the photo credits, another major fan who would look at that kind of detail, and said, congratulations. And that's how I found out. So it was very cool to go to the bookstore that day, later in that day, and open the book up and see the picture that that I took in that book. And to your point, that is certainly a huge highlight. And, that book now will become a part of his legacy and his history.
Right.
And So to know that I've contributed in even the smallest way still is a very cool thing to happen. So here's my other question to you now. In terms of the way that you walk in, the way the show is done, you come to people's homes or wherever they have their collections and you talk about it, you showcase it, there's an appraiser there. Is there, you mentioned earlier when we were talking that that this is a part of people's childhoods. Most collections are born out of people's childhoods. Is that pretty much the most common thread that you have found through all the collectors, regardless of how passionate, regardless of how extravagant their collections may be? Do you find a common thread? Is it the childhood thread, or do you find other threads that are common amongst all the collectors on the show?
I'll say the most common is definitely the childhood thread. It's whether it's a relationship from their childhood, like they went to see this Star Wars movie with their uncle when they were five, or watched this TV show with their mom when they were seven, or their brother played with this particular toy when they were six, or maybe it's a time in their life they remember coming home after, it's something like that, a time in their life, something with their childhood. That's the most common thread. The other common thread is really just kind of the joy of the hunt, finding there's always a holy grail, there's always
and
something
that's exactly,
trying to find something.
And that's the exact term that most collectors use, the holy grail. There is always one item, that's the exact term that every collector uses.
Yeah, there's always something. There's another common thread is the community. There's a, whether it's the shows, the trade shows, or whether it's the there's the online community, or whether there's different ways that the collectors all get together. But there seems to be, even though everybody's trying to all try to find the same thing, there does seem to be some camaraderie of the community, which I think is really important. Somebody asked me the other day on a television show about, what's the difference in collecting and hoarding, and hoarders get a bad name, and make a case for collecting. And, I do think that one of the big things to make a case for collecting is that we all need purpose. We need passion. We need relationships. And the community is in the big plus column for collecting, because we do need relationships. And when you share a common goal like that, and you can all get together and you have something in common like that, and you share that passion that nobody else may understand it, but, you know, you get it. You get each other. That's important.
Yeah, there's no question. In fact, you know what's interesting? Even in my little world of the Elton John collecting, to your point, which is well said, what's interesting is that even within a specific subject matter of collecting, people will collect certain things more than others. Like, for instance, in the Elton John world, some people just collect vinyl. They won't collect everything he has. They'll just, for instance, collect the vinyl albums and the vinyl 45s. Other people will say, well, my collection, I just like to have all the magazines or newspaper articles dating back to 1970 or whenever. And so theirs is more of a paper aspect. I have a friend of mine who has perhaps the largest video collection of anybody in the world. He just collects video. Different snippets of him being on television or on different shows and things like that. So that's what's interesting, too, within the collecting world, even within a certain subject. Then there are sub-subjects of collecting that people will only focus on. So it really is kind of an interesting dynamic, because I could have a big collection and somebody I know has a big collection, but we may both collect Elton John things, but we collect different things. So we're actually even not in competition with one another.
Exactly, which makes it really, really great, because you can make trades, you can look out for each other. Although I have noticed, too, there really is, even if you are kind of looking out for the same thing, there doesn't seem to be the dog-eat-dog kind of world in collecting. People really do seem to really care about each other and be looking out for each other.
Well, I think the fact of the matter, and certainly the internet has changed the dynamic. But I think at the heart of what you're saying is that you are happy to know that there's someone that shares, you mentioned before, that shares your passion. And so as mm-hmm. much as you may want to have the best collection there is, at the same time, it's actually kind of neat to know that there are more people out there like you. You know, before the internet or other things like that, I know from my standpoint, I thought I was the only one out there doing this.
Yeah.
Or who had that mm-hmm. kind of a passion or that kind of a knowledge for his music or followed his career and had all these things. And the more people I met as the years went on, and then obviously the internet opened up a whole new aspect of that, I find that everybody, it's like, oh, yeah, 15 people, we all have the same thing. Oh, yeah, you have to have that, you know, or it's not a collection if you don't have that type of thing. And so, mm-hmm. but it just makes it more of a fun kind of thing to know that there are some people out there like you sharing your interests, because there was a time when you thought, geez, maybe I'm the only crazy one out there. And then you find out there's a lot of crazies, and that's fine. You know, we enjoy our insanity, you know. Together.
Exactly.
Well, Lisa, before I let you go, I just want to say that when we win the Emmy for my episode,
I will
let you speak first.
Thank you, because okay. I don't, you know, and the good thing about that is when I do eventually turn it over to you, you will have the inspiring music underneath you.
Well, that's, I'm afraid, in fact, now that I think about it, maybe I should talk first, because then they'll play you off.
Well, we can argue about that at that time.
Very good.